May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, today is the proverbial lost sheep homily, and I'd actually written another sermon that's more patriotic, and being so close to the 4th of July, you know, being such a traditionalist, I'm sort of torn between the two sermons, which one I should bring to you today. I'm thinking that since we're so familiar with the lost and found, that maybe the patriotic sermon may be appropriate. Is that okay with you guys? And I know that most liturgical groups, like the Orthodox, the Anglicans, and the Romans, are so scripted in our services, it's sort of difficult for us to kind of move off center. We're not the congregationalist types that's kind of ebbing and flowing and just kind of letting the Spirit lead us. So today we're going to let the Spirit do a little more leading than normal. I'll have to read to you some of the Scripture so that it makes sense to you as we go through the sermon. From Matthew 11 we read, "But to what shall I liken this generation?" And that applies so much today. This was said 2,000 years ago by Jesus himself. But we can apply this today. "But what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament.' For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children." Added to that verse is another part of the Scripture. In verse 25 we read, Jesus saying, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." Then he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today's sermon is twofold. In part one, Matthew says, Jesus saying, "To what shall I compare this generation?" Here Jesus is talking about believers and non-believers. Children often mimic the behavior of parents, as they say, like father, like son. I suppose we can say like mother, like daughter. They call to passers-by seeking a response. Their words led to wayward ways. These non-believing children, like their parents, chose not to believe in the words of Jesus Christ in turn because they lacked grace and mercy. They turned their evil instead to slander and to hurtful things for those who were believers. They did so by making false accusations and creating prejudices against the world. Jesus adds, they are like children sitting in the marketplace. And what he means by this is sitting in the marketplace suggests a place for idleness, or a place full of noises and distractions like elevators, or a place of worldly affairs and materialism. Or malls. There's so much noise going around. How can you focus and make sense of what's going on around you? The fair and the circus, there's noises going on all the time. Can you think of any other places like that today? Ultimately, their words led to lies, which are the aim of the undisciplined people who exist without a ship or sail. In today's passage, they call Jesus a drunkard and a glutton, who reached out to sinners and tax collectors being the greatest insult in that time. But Jesus responded by saying these precious words, "But wisdom is proved by her actions." Part two of this lesson today, we hear Jesus say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These are enduring words that have been paraphrased throughout the centuries because they give us hope. So in honor of our recent Independence Day, let us examine God's gift of freedom and how it relates to us. Libertas éclairant le monde. means in French, liberty enlightening the world. This statement is manifested in the Statue of Liberty. The statue was a gift to America from France and was dedicated on October 28, 1886, 124 years ago. It rests on Liberty Island in the middle of New York Harbor. And it was designed by French sculptor Frederick Auguste Bartholdi. And the statue depicts the Roman goddess of freedom, Libertas, who holds a torch on an outstretched right arm while on the other cradling a tablet depicting the law upon which is inscribed the American Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776. There is another inscription on this monument, and it is rendered from a sonnet written by American poet Emma Lazarus entitled The New Colossus. And I will read part of it as follows. A mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name is Mother of Exiles. Cries she with silent lips, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Mrs. Lazarus must have been reading the Gospel of Matthew when she wrote, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Does this not ring familiar with what Christ says? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is rest other than freedom and independence? Not just from the cares and burdens of this world, but from the sin in which we are enslaved. This independence is the rest Christ is offering our souls. It is the freedom from bondage and the removal of the chains that binds us. Mrs. Lazarus gave us more symbolism as she ends her sonnet with, I lift my lamp beside the golden door. The lamp is symbolic of the light of the world. We all know that as believers to be Jesus Christ. The golden door is a symbol of the entrance to heaven. The door describes the gateway to heaven, while the gold, a metal that never tarnishes, nor decays, nor loses its value, is the material that paves the streets of heaven. Jesus adds in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now everyone knows that freedom does come with a price. Just ask the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Little did we know that five of those signers were captured by the British, made traitors, and were tortured to death. Carter Braxton, Thomas McKean, William Ellery, Lyman Hall, George Clymer, George Walton, Button Gwinnett, Thomas Hayward Jr., Edward Rutledge, Arthur Middleton, Thomas Nelson Jr., Francis Lewis, and John Hart, in addition, lost their lands, their wives and families, and ended up bankrupt in rags and poverty. So you see, the price of freedom is not free. The freedom we have today was paid with a high price. That price was often the blood of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines, as well as the personal treasury of many a believer of freedom. Isn't it ironic that most often the currency of freedom is in blood? Think about Christ, for instance. With his blood, our sins were paid. Now we are free from our sins if we only repent and accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. The cost of freedom for the world is death, and the reward is more enslavement, while the cost for freedom in Christ Jesus is mercy, and the reward is eternal life. Yielding to Christ as our Lord, our King, our Savior, is the only true freedom we can enjoy, because the world and sin will keep us in bondage. This is why confession and repentance is so vital to a Christian's life. It frees us from the burden of sin. When we repent of our sins and ask him to be a part of our lives, we accept a duty to obey his commandments. Unlike the world, which keeps us in bondage, our faith in Christ keeps us free. The duty to obey and worship him as King is the yoke which is easy. Now, we all know that living for Christ in this materialistic and immoral world is not easy. The words bearing his yoke imply a very little effort. However, everyone who has tried to follow Christ knows this is just not true. It takes an effort to live a moral and righteous life by resisting the temptation and following the commandments of God. And Paul talks about it in his epistles, about the flesh warring with the spirit. And I think often we're sometimes believe ourselves to be part of the fair or the circus. We're part of that high wire act, that all of us are trying to walk this tightrope, this tight wire between heaven and earth, between our flesh and our spirits, trying to have the good and the bad. I was just reading St. Augustine this week, and he was comparing what true poverty is. He said of true poverty, and I paraphrase, true poverty is material wealth. If you have material wealth, you're actually the one in poverty. The ones in poverty are the ones with the great wealth. It's just how you look at it. You know, God calls us when we become believers to become new creatures in Christ. And not to be a part of this world, but to be apart from this world. The context of this gospel reveals in ancient Hebrew that the yoke was the common symbol for the law of Moses and the 600 plus rules which were added by the Pharisees to meet the demands of their legalism. It is not unlike our U.S. Constitution and the tens of thousands of regulations we have today. Regulations are intended for the general welfare, but they are so numerous that the ultimate effect is stifling and counterproductive. Today, there are so many regulations, one cannot possibly know them all or much less understand them. One thing, though, is certain. If we break one of these regulations, we will soon be found out and severely punished. This is the burden Christ is talking about. It was a heavy burden for the Jews to follow the numerous rules and regulations associated with the law of Moses. They were under enormous pressure to abide by these rules, and the Pharisees were then the judge and jury. Pharisees kept a record of disobedience, and breaking one of their rules came with a stiff penalty. And if we look at this more closely, we see that these rules were essentially a works-based theology. Christ came to this world to give us a grace-based theology. Following these petty rules leads us to a deadening of our spirits. It causes us to end up becoming self-righteous, which we all know the Pharisees were, rather than being humble and free. In our freedom, we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. In our bondage, it is certainly more difficult. And in our traps of materialism and worldly things, in our flesh, we're in bondage. In our spirit, we are free. So he gave us freedom to love him unconditionally, just like he loves us without strings attached. All he asks is that we believe in his Son and make him our Savior. This is a small price to pay in exchange for our sins being paid in full. So in closing, our early church father, St. Augustine of Hippo, writes in his classic autobiography, Confessions, "Shall we then also reckon this vain curiosity among the things that are to be but lightly esteemed? Shall anything restore us to hope except your complete mercy, since you have begun to change us? You know to what extent you have already changed me, for first of all, you healed me of the lust for vindicating myself," what he means is his self-righteousness, "so that you might then forgive all my remaining iniquities and heal me of all my diseases, and redeem my life from corruption and crown, and crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfy my desire with good things. For it was you who restrained my pride with your fear and bowed my neck to your yoke. And now I bear the yoke, and it's light to me because you promised it to be so. And so in truth it was, though I knew it not when I feared to take it up before I became a believer." St. Augustine found that the yoke of Christ is indeed easy. compared to the burdens or yoke of this world, freely accepting the love of Christ and yielding to his yoke was proof positive of our freedom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.